Hey, back here on Downtown on this Monday afternoon program, and we are pleased to be joined in studio. He had to make a long trek down the hall from the KIT studios.
Little winded.
Ooh, ScoMo is here. Scotty Moore with us. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I got to catch my breath here a little bit. I'm not as young as I used to be.
You put an album on to be able to come down here and talk with us?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I wanted to go back in time. First of all, it doesn't seem possible to me, but back to the ice storm, which was 25 years ago this week.
It was 25 years ago this week.
Yeah.
This week.
Yeah, the ice started on the 7th of January.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we know everything that happened after that. But sure. you were right here on the air all those years ago.
Yeah. And I think it was, and I, with all due respect to anybody who had a tough time, I think it was a great time to be a Mainer. Because I think there was a sense of community amongst people trying to help each other, which if this happened today, I don't think it would play out the way it did. Because I think there'd be things where somebody would say, well, the power's not on because so-and-so is making sure this doesn't happen. Or if somebody was, because I would come in here and fill up water jugs, you know, to take home to bathe with or drink or whatever, cook with on the wood stove. But there were some places that were supplying water. And I think if that happened today, they'd be like, well, no, drink the water. Yeah, they're going to put a chip in it and track you. But I think something as simple as we have no power, we have all this ice, what can we do to help each other? It would somehow become politicized now.
Yeah, it certainly brought out the best in people.
It did.
At the time. Now, let's talk about here at the radio station. I can't remember any of this. I don't know why, but I was working here, working with Dale and Clem and doing some stuff with them. I have no recollection of that period at all, but the stations largely kept power through the ice storm, right?
I think it was a generator or maybe, because I remember driving down Broadway and the traffic lights were out.
Yep,
and
I do remember that.
The business lights were out, and I remember getting on the interstate because I, at the time, lived in Winterport, and I would drive by Dicehearts. And I remember just how odd it was that there were no lights at Dicehearts.
Wow!
As I drove by, but in here it was kind of an odd feeling. It reminded me a bit when we had the beginning of the pandemic here. It felt a little like that. I kept thinking about the ice storm then.
Now, did you keep your power at home, or did you lose it there too?
We lost it, I think, for 10 days.
Wow!
And it was kind of nice because we had a wood stove, so you'd have to heat up your water.
Yeah.
But it was very quiet. So all those things that you think you want to do, like, oh, we should, you know, meditate or sit for a certain amount of time, all this time opens up as a result of not having power. And it was kind of nice. It was more intimate and things slowed down. And not that I wasn't glad when the power came on, but it was kind of nice, I thought.
Now, were your kids still in the house at the time?
Yes, we had daughter Jessica there. And she would help keep the wood stove going. It was just a cheap little wood stove my father-in-law picked up for $15 on the side of the road.
Wow.
And that completely saved us. Wow. We kept warm. We cooked on it. We heated up water on it to bathe with.
Yep.
But it was kind of nice in a weird way.
Wow. So you came in here. You did the afternoon show every single day.
That's it.
And you know, for those people who had power or had a little bit, or even those who didn't, the radio became a real lifeline for people. And so many people talk about the fact that if it had, and you mentioned that downtime, if it hadn't been for radio, popping batteries in the old transistor, they'd have gone crazy.
There was some people had cell phones, but it wasn't like today. There was no Facebook, there was no Twitter, there was no social media to speak of. So even though you may have had a phone, the importance of radio was just unlike anything we'd had in a while to that point. Radio was everything then, because personal messages would be like, okay, if you need this, that, or the other thing, or the messages were conveyed on radio.
So did you have people calling in asking you to share messages?
All the time.
Wow.
Yeah. Some of them better than others. Some you wouldn't want to broadcast. Like there was somebody who'd found a way to stay warm by having their tailpipe go into their house. Well,
don't do that.
I'm getting real sleepy.
I remember listening. Oh. I remember listening. I don't remember what station it was, and some woman called in, and she had hooked up a generator, I think, or something, and she said, well, I hooked it up, and I'm a little warm, but I'm getting a little woozy. And they're like, open the windows. Yes. Please open the window. Go outside. Don't stay in there.
But radio was so important then, and there was no social media, and that was the thing. Right. It was, because television was, most people couldn't see it.
Yeah.
So it was greatly important. So it was kind of a great time for radio, too.
Well, and I, when those times have happened through the years, bad storms, you know, those kind of situations, I always, I love being on the radio all the time. But especially then, because you know people are listening and,
yes,
and counting on you for information and just entertainment.
And I think sometimes with radio, and I think it was might have been Mighty John who said this many years ago, that for many people, radio was like wallpaper. It's just kind of there, but suddenly with something like the ice storm, it becomes dramatically more important. Like, we need this. And it was a lifeline, I think, for a lot of people.
I remember, I think it was George Hale 100 years ago telling me when I was very young, very new in the business, he said, radio's an intimate medium. It's one-on-one. Most of the people listening to you are by themselves. You know, people watch TV, they're gathered around in a living room or something watching. But with radio, it's often people in the kitchen, people in their cars, and you have to imagine you're talking to just that one person. And I think in the case of the ice storm, there was a lot of that, that it was people who couldn't get out to see friends or relatives, and they turned to the, yes, radio for friendship and companionship.
And I think Mr. Hale is absolutely right, and I think it's even more so depending on the time of day. Like for years, he's been on in the mornings, and people in the mornings, they're taking a shower. They're half dressed or they're not dressed, and you're spending time with this person in a way that you wouldn't present yourself at any other point in the day to other people. So there is an intimacy there that is not there later in the day, I think.
I was reading the Portland paper did a nice piece on the ice storm over the weekend. And you forget these little details, but a lot of people talked about the sounds of the ice storm and how,
yes,
eerie it was at night or early in the morning to hear the popping of trees and things like that.
It was like a gunshot, because we lived in a little log cabin in Winterport on the back of Winterport Road. It used to be called the Dump Road. And eventually, I think a real estate person got a hold of it, and they changed it to the Stream Road. You know,
who, much more attractive to sell.
Who,
yes,
wants to live on the Dump Road? Well, I did. But you'd hear these cracks like a gunshot, and look out, and you'd see a big branch just fall to the ground.
Wow.
And I had a German Shepherd Collie mix, and I was always like, "Oh my gosh, Obi doesn't get hit by a tree," because he'd go out there and just wander around.
I remember too. There were times when it was beautiful.
It was.
You get out during the day, and you had to be careful of your footing in places, but you saw things that we had never seen before, and obviously it was very, very difficult for a lot of people, but there was also a certain kind of weird beauty in that.
I think of that every year, because most years I watch A Christmas Story, Darren McGavin, the kid. What's the kid's name?
Ralphie.
Yeah. Ralphie, but the actor's name.
Oh, Peter Billingsley.
Billingsley, yes. And there's that shot where it's Christmas morning and Ralphie wakes up, but instead of racing downstairs to get the presents, he goes to the window and he opens the window up and everything is all covered with ice and snow. And he pauses, even as a little kid, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And then he wakes his brother up, and of course they get downstairs. But I mean, every time I see that, it reminds me of that ice storm.
Wow, we're talking with ScoMo here about the ice storm 25 years ago this week, beyond this week for a lot of people who were without power, some of them for weeks and weeks. Did anybody here, do you remember, did anybody here have to end up spending the night at the station?
I don't remember. It might have happened. I remember me sometimes cleaning up in the sink.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like somebody would pound at the door. Yeah, I'll be out in a minute. I'm in here a little bit longer than usual. Thanks.
But there was also, I would assume, you know, sense of fraternity,
there
brotherhood
was
here, because you were not just, wasn't just doing your daily show, but you were providing a real service to folks.
It felt good to be needed. And also, I remember the manager at the time, Chris Spruce, made sure that everybody, look, if you need water, you fill up with water here, take it home. If there's anything we can do, you let me know. It was just awesome. What they did for us, and we tried to extend that to other people.
I remember this is one of my stranger stories from it.
Oh, I love your strange stories.
Well, I had a house that I wasn't living in at the time, and I'd rented it, but it was empty, and went and had power. So I went to check it up, but it was also, there was an ice dam. And so there was a little leaking going on, and I had a friend who said, well, I can help you with that. Now, why we chose to do this at night, I don't know.
Oh,
but at
no.
like 9, 10 o'clock at night, we're running a big ladder up the side of this house to chip away some of this ice to stop the leak. And we get done with that. And then he needed to use the ladder at his house.
Wait,
which
you
was
were
a
up on the roof
away.
At nighttime.
I was holding the ladder
holding.
From my friend. I'm not going up there.
But he was up on the roof.
He was up. Alongside the roof. He didn't go onto
okay.
the roof. He was
yeah.
just chipping along the eaves up there. But then we had to get the ladder to his house, and the driving was treacherous, and the ladder wouldn't fit in the back of his truck. And so he said, I have an idea. I said, all right.
We oh boy.
Tied the ladder to the back of his truck. I drove the truck, and he rode the ladder to make sure that it stayed on and didn't swing
what?
Too far right or left.
He sat on the ladder yeah. in the back of the truck?
Yeah, with the ladder actually out of the bag.
Wow.
On the ice, basically sliding across the ice behind the truck. Now, I wasn't going very fast, but he wanted
wow.
to make sure it didn't swing too far
sure.
and take out a car or something like that.
Man, that was like an early version of Jackass
oh,
right
yeah,
there,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
That
yeah.
could have ended badly.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But it was fine.
Well, the good news, nobody else was out that time of night
sure.
in an ice storm. But yeah, it was
wow.
It was a little crazy. But I must have come in here to work with Dale and Clem a time or two, but I don't remember. But I remember you guys being on KIT.
Did Dale notice there was an ice storm? I wasn't sure. He was very single-minded
yes,
about sports.
Yes, why are there no games?
There, see, that I could see, but him noticing the ice storm, I'm not sure he would have noticed that. Would that have landed with him? I don't know.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's the case at all there, but it was a wild time. I can't believe it was 25 years ago.
I can't either. And I don't know, in a weird way, I think it was one of the best times to be a Mainer.
Well, and yeah, and it reminded people of the power and the importance of the radio, but also, like you said at the beginning, of being a good neighbor,
yes.
being a friend. I don't want another ice storm.
Me neither.
But there's a part of me that I would like to see if people would respond the way they did back then. And I hope it wouldn't be what you suggested at the beginning, but then again, it might.
It wouldn't be all or nothing, but I'm sure there'd be some percentage of people that would politicize it in some way.
Right.
And it wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, or would people refuse to help, but depending on the bumper sticker that
right.
was on a car in the yard?
It could be some people. There'd be a percentage,
well,
yes. That could happen.
All right. Well, we're not going to get another one, but it's been fun to reminisce. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you very much. How is this show not syndicated? Because I have an idea that I think, the 7 degrees of bacon, 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon, you need to start a thing where it's 7 degrees of downtown.
Wow.
Because it's like I was recently, and I think I texted you or emailed you about this. I just watched Amsterdam, great movie on HBO Max. Who thought Christian Bale was that funny?
Mm.
But it's like, there's Ed Begley, downtown.
Downtown.
Watched Hallmark movie with Tobolowsky, downtown.
Downtown.
But you can watch anything, and you don't need 7 degrees to get to downtown with Rich Kimball.
Well, and we've had Kevin Bacon on, so I'm only 1 degree from him. So it's perfect.
So yeah. That's gone, so you have to have your own thing. 7 degrees of downtown.
All right.
Huh?
We'll get the staff on that.
There we go.
Unfortunately, the staff, such as it is in New Orleans.
Right. Carrie, who I used to live with until he kicked me out.
You lived with Carrie?
I lived with Carrie for a couple of years.
Wow.
I lived in what is now he and his wife's bedroom, but that's where me and my wife lived.
Wow.
My wife and me, I'm not sure. But we lived there until they wanted their bedroom back, and then they kicked us out.
Wow.
I keep trying to worm my way back in, but it hasn't worked yet. But,
well, I think you wait until they're in New Orleans, and then you decide you want to stay in the back there.
Oh, buddy, there we go.
There
That's my way in.
Hey, thanks, Go. Appreciate it.
Love you, Rich, and Cajun Carrie, love you too.